With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, we are back again after the kind of day I've had today. I am thankful for the opportunity to be back here with you again to speak these words of blessing that the Most High has granted me. And He has declared that I must speak to His people. We are here again. Welcome to the show. My name is Adam Yah, Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Shalom. Baraka Shalom. May the Most High bless you with all that is necessary unto His peace. And I'm Adam Yah of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. As I said, another episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed. Most High said I have some very important things for me to do. said, because of what I must do for him, I would accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he says, while I do for him that which he's asked of me, I will have his protection and his guidance. I'm very thankful for that. But he told me that I must tell you things. The men have done everything they could from the dawn of human fall to hide, deny, pervert, silence, and destroy. Oh, yes, my brothers and sisters, the time has come to tell the secreted things of Yah. Not only the secreted things, my brothers and sisters, those things that men have done everything they could to hide, pervert, silence, and destroy, but also to seek to raise human consciousness, human conscience, what it is to honor the Most High, what it is to honor the purpose for which humanity was made. For today, in such a heavily convoluted world, it's not just a matter of seeking to reveal again that which is hid, but also to cause man to understand how and why the realization of truth in this world is of utmost importance for human survival. In a world where men have declared many nations, many national, political, social, and religious regimes, so many selfishly contrived agendas, most of the time the people within them hardly realizing the traps and the snares that they are in, because men have been bribed to follow after far less than a holy covenant. Daniel 11 spoke about it. It talked about how this Antichrist power, if you will have enmity against a holy covenant and will have a covenant with those who forsake the holy covenant, therefore offering bribes. Yes, my brothers and sisters, bribes, seeming great esteem to those who are compelled, wittingly or not, to stand against the perfect will of Yah. And yes, this system oftentimes exalts greatly those who walk after lawlessness, that many feel, sadly enough, that they have not succeeded, that they have not attained, that they have not come to a sense of identity, lest they emulate or attain materially to what seems so important according to a very jaded and blinded worldly status quo. Consider, my brothers and sisters, we live in a world today that hardly considers this fact. Shall Yah be pleased with every thought that proceeds from the minds of men? I repeat, shall Yah be pleased with every thought, every inclination, every desire that proceeds from the mouth of men? Shall humanity be saved by all the diversely different, divide and conquer value systems, if you will, oftentimes irreverent and reprobate value systems established by men who establish whole governments and institutionalities, setting up parameters that they say are under their jurisdiction and controls, whereby they replicate in the immensity of the multitude of diverse systems and thoughts and hegemonial patterns, controlling bodies of knowledge, as they say. Shall the Most High be pleased that men have established for themselves all these various institutions, saying that men have quartered off on the earth that belongs to Yah, places where they can propagate, perpetuate all manner of deviant ideology, compelling those who inhabit those lands to think they are wise when they only are deceived to function in the arrogance of their ignorance. Yes, I said the arrogance of their ignorance. 192 nations on the earth today, among those who call themselves believers as Christians, per se. I prefer the term Christianity. 30,000 claiming to believe in the Messiah. All speaking something different. Shall all the different ideals that men have established, all the different value systems that men have set up as status quos, shall they all be found worthy unto Yah to give glory to unto the oneness that is his name? It's a horrific thing to discern how this world establishes snares to devour and imprison, even damn the souls of men. And most live their entire lives totally unaware. Yes, we live in a world where men most hardly realize how much they have been tethered. Yes, I said tethered under the hands of puppet masters who have no intention to cut the strings. Men have been blinded under political, social, economic, and pseudo-religiously diverse cliques and fads, wherein the peoples have been oppressed or socially pressured, not realizing the weakness of the standards and the foundations they uphold, to be made nothing more than usable and abusable commodities. Yes, I said usable and abusable commodities. For them whose utmost most concern is not according to the election or the elect purposes of Yah for humanity, but simply to make men consumers to be consumed after value systems, status symbols unto the status quo. Continuing to function like hamsters in a cage, running and not realizing that they've always been in nothing else but a snare and a prison. One intended by its very purpose against the awakening and against the preservation of human souls. Why do I say this, my brothers and sisters, that most have hardly understood that the human purpose has always been as a vessel? Did you hear me? Always been as a vessel for the thoughts, mind, glory of divine purpose, divine mind, giving glory to the thoughts, the magnificence of the thoughts of Almighty Yah. Nevertheless, we live in a society today that, amazingly enough, is it's amazing how we live in a society that sets up status quos, declares status symbols, that they tell people that they have to have. That some people even are so caught up and jaded by these ideas that they're ripe for abuse. It amazes me how it is that oftentimes these value systems are impugned upon our children. And over the course of generations, those children finally become those who are in power, whose guard has been let down, not discerning how they have been made abusable commodities, forced to, well, they feel that they've attained something. Under the auspices and the control systems of those who know nothing of and care nothing of the salvation of the human soul. And over the course of generations, men's sense of conscience becomes less and less. And men are abused to hardly attain their purpose. Men disrespecting one another because they don't respect the purpose for which humanity was made. And not respecting the purpose for which humanity was made, men have also disrespected Almighty Yah. I want you to understand, there's a scripture that reads this way. Messiah said, I came that men might have life and have it more abundantly. I want you to understand something, my brothers and sisters, the purpose for which Messiah came. In the orientation of this show, I spoke about how the scriptures relate the Messiah and his coming were declared to a world. And it's written twice, latter verses of Isaiah 57, and also in the last verse, 48:22 of Isaiah. The Messiah will declare to a world that there will be no peace to the wicked, no peace to the lawless. In other words, those who do not attain to his righteousness, do not seek his righteousness, shall not partake in his rest, in his peace. The scripture asks in Revelation, the 15th chapter, who will not revere thee, O King of nations? Especially at a time when his righteousness, has been revealed. We're talking about a righteousness that leads to salvation, my brothers and sisters. In fact, the only righteousness that leads to salvation. Shall men say they have all sworn true to that righteousness? Shall a man say that simply because they've called upon the name of the Most High, put his name upon whatever institutionality and ideal that they endorse, that the Most High has said to these people, after all these multitude of institutions, have sworn unto the righteousness of Yah? Have they sworn unto the righteousness of Yah, all my brothers and sisters, and the multitude of differences? Have we not perceive the fact of the matter is that instead of declaring the righteousness of Yah, men have actually slandered it. There's a reason why Isaiah 48 talks about men having sworn by the name of the Most High, but not in truth nor in righteousness. So men say they put on, as they say, Christ's righteousness just because they called upon his name. If that were true, my brothers and sisters, you wouldn't have 3,000 odd different denominations declaring something different. Because the righteousness of Yah is one. I repeat, the righteousness of Yah is one. He is not divided. He's not confused by the misleading concepts of men. In one scripture, he said, Messiah said, your righteousness ultimately must exceed that of your leaders, else you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah. Don't you know, my brothers and sisters, when he was declaring that scripture, he said, your righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. When the gospel went forth, did he say that the righteousness of the Gentile was sufficient of any Gentile nation? Absolutely not. Why else would the gospel have to go forward? If it's possible somebody just calls something Christ's righteousness, as men have said, and the Most High be pleased with it, there would be no need for inspiration from the Most High, would there? I repeat, if whatever people call righteousness, the Christ's righteousness was suddenly became his righteousness, what need would there be for the gift of Yah? What need would there be for his inspiration? Do we dare to say that salvation is according to whatever people call righteousness? That oneness before Yah for a world is according to whatever men call righteousness? Like I said, my brothers and sisters, we live in a society that creates false security anchors. We live in a society that creates false senses of values. And amazingly enough, like I said before, once those who absorb those values become those in places of power, what is called status quo becomes all the more weaker, a sense of conscience. And amazingly, some are so wrapped up in these things, it's unreal. Folks go out there, folks out there who will buy a cell phone. 2 months later, another one comes out. Just spend $600 for it. 2 months later, sell that $600 cell phone to somebody for $100 because they got to have the next status symbol so they feel like they are complicit with the status quo that only uses them. I find this amazing. But there are those who fall for this. And it's happening all the time. In every system on earth, men are establishing their own ideals against the will of Yah and ultimately being used to uphold a standard that by no means is his salvation. The time has come that this spell of deceit must be broken. Most High told me, quite frankly, he said, pray for the dumb. Pray for the dumb. Not everyone has been granted to even begin to consider many of these things. But you have to ask a question. In a world where most have not understood the word of Yah line upon line, precept upon precept, meaning that they need a great foundation and a lot of precepts in order to understand the magnitude of what Messiah shall decree. The question is asked in Isaiah 28, to whom shall he teach knowledge? When most people don't even realize how much they are slaves, how much they've been slaves, and even come to the light in this slavery, because complicity with it seems to appeal to their carnality. How do you free them? And the question to ask is if they were granted the opportunity of freedom, or they saw freedom, seeking first to appeal to their carnality, not to give glory to him who set them free, would they pursue wisdom necessary to preserve their liberty? I ask the question, if such as souls as these were free, would they pursue the wisdom necessary to preserve their liberty? Or would they, forgetting the principles of that peace, fall right back to be victimized in their carnality by those who cause them even to dishonor themselves? Honoring first what appeals to their flesh and not learning to respect one another's souls, spirits, and minds. Yah gave humanity a great gift. And we're going to have to understand again, my brothers and sisters, that the preservation of that gift, when he gives it again, demands wisdom. I hope you're out there. I hope you hear me. I have quite a bit to say leading up off of a lot of things we spoke about last night. And one of the things I spoke about, my brothers and sisters, at the tail end of last night's show, is how actually Messiah comes to be ultimately a friend to all. But how many can really understand that? Remember that the Most High has declared, in fact, the scriptures say Messiah, when he comes, will declare to a world, even at a time when the Most High seeks to heal the wound of his people, to raise again the conscience of his people. Isaiah 57 speaks of it. It says again, there's no peace to the wicked, says my Yah. Understand the concept, my brothers and my sisters. The Most High created man for his purpose, to give honor to his holy name, to give honor to divine thought, to even have a capacity to recognize the preciousness of the emanations of divine mind, and to replicate that very mind, giving honor to him who conceived such glory as vessels to preserve that conscience in the earth forever. So why does Messiah come? I've said it many times on this show that the prophecies relate that the Messiah comes. The scriptures even relate it time and time again at a time when human conscience has fallen to a very, very deep low. That's not what your pastors would tell you. But I tell you, just read it in Isaiah 41 going into 42. And if you think that's not a latter-day prophecy, keep reading all through Isaiah 42 and read on to 43. Because it talks about the time of him regathering his people. It talks about the time that there was will come what the scriptures call the drying up of the rivers and the drying up of the pools, like you find in Revelation 16, 12. In other words, the time of the Most High is recompensing the whole world for its, they say disobedience. How about inattentiveness and irreverence against divine standards and divine will, not even realizing that the people, not discerning their purpose under Yah, were all in prison houses, so none says or even recognize the need to seek restoration. Yes, latter-day prophecy. Isaiah 41 going into 42 says, I've looked upon the children of men and see if they were, and if he asked a question, they could give him an answer, where it reads in some text. Meditate upon a thing, give him an answer acceptable. He says, behold, they're all wind and vanity. Their thoughts are wind and vanity. Meaning that none can give an answer wise enough to be counted true wisdom before Yah. So it says, behold, my servant, my elect and my soul delights, I put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth justice to the nations, or show what is wisdom again to the nations. Isaiah 59 says, I beheld there was no intercessor. Heaven help us. And the Most High saw it and was displeased. That means that there was none petitioned fully after the will of Yah. Meaning that there was some petitioning for some unrighteousness. And the Most High says in Isaiah 59 again, he was not pleased. Messiah said on the stake, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Show them how to return unto righteousness. Show them the wickedness of the ways, of their ways and their thoughts, Father, lest they have no capacity to ever return. Let them know what they do, discern what they do, and discern how to do well, that they might return unto the Most High. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Don't leave them forsaken. Show them that in which they return, they must return, if they're going to give honor to your name. This is my prayer. I want you to consider, if you would, this scripture. Some consider it the most popular and well-known scripture in all the Bible. Yohanan, John 3:16. Yah so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. He who does not believe in him is condemned already, for he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. Consider this scripture, my brothers and sisters. Consider the implications of it. He said he gave them power to become sons of God. Yeah, another scripture, those who believe in his name. Say those who do not believe are already condemned because they did not believe in the name of the only begotten Son. There's a need to consider the implication. He says, Yah did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him it might be saved. How many consider these scriptures? I'm reading them in a little bit different order. I'm relating them in a little bit different order for a reason. I'll go back and read it two or three through it now one more time, but I'll read it in its natural order. For Yah so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yah sent his Son into the world. Did send not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him it might be saved. He that believeth in him was not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believing in the name of the only begotten Son of Yah. It says, this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, desires truth, seeks to perform what is true, comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, revealed, discerned, that they are wrought, or whether or not they are wrought in Yah. I want you to consider what this scripture just said. Yah did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him it might be saved. How many consider when they read this scripture that in a few cases it becomes much more self-explanatory? He says, who believes in him is not condemned. What do they believe? How about already condemned? He said, he's not coming to condemn the world, but to heal it, to save it. Well, I understand it doesn't mean just preserve it, because by no means is the Most High going to preserve wickedness. It means to restore man to the knowledge of what is righteousness before Yah, that men might not perish, because no wickedness, no sin, and no manner of unrighteousness will have life eternal. One scripture says it this way. It says, he who believes has life, but he who does not believe should not have life, and the wrath of Yah remains upon him. Messiah comes to deliver, my brothers and sisters, and most have never considered what that really means. It says he comes to deliver. The Most High has promised that this world shall have peace. But my brothers and sisters, by no means will that peace come at the expense of sheltering or preserving any manner of contentiousness, corruption, lawlessness, or evil. So why then did Messiah come? My brothers and sisters, did you hear what I said? This scripture said, one scripture in Revelation said, who shall not revere thee, O King of Ages? Talking about a time when King of Ages, some say ages, some say nations. Because his righteousness has been revealed. And his righteousness, let me tell you something. His righteousness is not declared by the thoughts of men. His righteousness is not declared by anyone else, my brothers and sisters, but that which Yah himself has conceived and is pleased with. So, you ever stop to consider that Messiah comes for the express purpose then to reveal again divine righteousness, that those who believe in that truth will have an opportunity to escape wrath and come unto life? Oh yes, my brothers and sisters, it's time to consider the real meaning of this scripture, because a world without the knowledge of a covenant, a people, a soul without the knowledge of a covenant. The scripture said my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It didn't say they're preserved. It didn't say men are true to all that is righteous in their lack of knowledge or their presumptuousness. The scriptures tell you plainly, you don't take the name of the Most High in vain. So men, just like I said, just forge the holy name upon something that seems wise to them. And the Most High be pleased with it? Can man just create for himself an idol god or an idol standard? Call it Christianity, create a church, hey, just stick the name of Christ on top of it some kind of witch way? And sits well, and then believe the Most High calls it a church? True to him? Do men actually believe the Most High does not know his own name or his own precepts? His own ideals, and that he accept whatever just people just call by his name. The scripture says you don't take his name in vain. You don't forge his name upon your own imaginings. And it means, my brothers and sisters, that he is the Most High reveals himself and declares to you how to speak his name wisely or speak his word wisely. Or what you have is still just an idol. He said, who shall not revere thee, O King of Nations, when at last thy righteousness? What absolutely is his righteousness is revealed. And men begin to understand that there's no peace to the lawless and there's no salvation by any other righteousness. How shall men react to that knowledge is a great question for every soul. Especially when men have felt like they have had a right to cordon off areas and land masses in the world where they can set up a pretense of righteousness. And as long as people just don't know they're being deceived, everybody's supposed to sit back and respect it. We live in a strange, strange politicization in this world. I repeat again, something that happened with regard to him, well, let's just say back in the days of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, FDR, one of the presidents of these United States, speaking of one A. Philip Randolph, it said that Harry Belafonte was also there in the midst of the meetings. And Belafonte, it is said, spoke about the meeting in this wise, considering this political system, that after A. Philip Randolph related his case as to the plight of his people, Franklin Delano Roosevelt admitted that his cause was a righteous one. But what was his answer? He said, you're right about this cause. But he said to him, make me do it. Make me do it. You ever stop to consider we live in a strange society that right oftentimes is not considered right until men are willing to accept the rule or the cause is worthy? Did you hear me? Until the masses accept the cause is worthy. It could be worthy all along. But until by and large the masses are willing to accept it as worthy, in this society, hey, you can have the most worthy cause in all the universe. But until I reckon people realize that they need that thing, or need to be aware of that cause, by sheer virtue of the fact that the people have not conformed themselves to obey it, they have said that that law is somehow unlawful, abolished, even as if it doesn't exist, because the people choose not to respect it. My brothers and sisters, I want you to understand something. The law of the Most High is eternal. It is a constant. And whether people realize the validity of the law or not, it is still that self-same law by which all humanity shall be judged, either unto salvation or damnation in the latter day. So when the scripture says, Yah so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and I know for a fact the Most High told me that he sends prophets for express reason, because they must speak with his word not. He sent his Son, my brothers and sisters, to speak and declare testimony that the leaders were oftentimes unwilling to declare, if not outright incontinent enough to declare the weakness of their very, very much disciplined and reprobated minds. One scripture in Isaiah 44 relates it this way concerning man. Even in these latter days, he says, their imaginations are dull. I repeat, their imaginations are dull, and they cannot deliver themselves, nor see that their right hand has wrought, trusted in falsehood. What it means then, my brothers and sisters, is that the soul, him whom Yah sends to show them the error of their thoughts, to show them a conscience that is capable of bringing them to a state called deliverance before the Most High, a mindset with which the Most High is pleased, whoever can do that and restore that conscience to humanity is not just deliverer, but you can look at it in its equated term, savior. It's time to understand the real purpose for which Messiah comes, my brothers and sisters. When all the world sees how men have fallen short of the glory and argued, even gone to war immensely, unto faulty purpose, and Messiah comes to show what indeed is righteousness, and men also realize in his presence that only in accepting the righteousness that he declares do any of them have an opportunity for the salvation of their souls, and that he's offered them so much if they only repent and return to him beyond the folly that they have held in allegiance, that they have an opportunity unto life. The question should be asked, shall men still be contentious one against another? I want you to understand, so the Messiah does not come, as the scripture says, to condemn, but to save. That means this one who comes to offer men opportunity unto life by the raising of human conscience unto the righteousness of Yah as a savior seeks to convert man from his animosity, convert man from his misplaced trust, convert man from all the pollutions of a blinded conscience, misguided conscience. Messiah comes then, my brothers and sisters, to overthrow the wiles of the wicked one. For there is one who, in upholding deviation against divine will, is an enemy to all. And whoever upholds any form of deviation, my brothers and sisters, can only be, hear me, in some respect, a murderer. Whoever upholds any form of collusion with sin against the perfect will of Yah leads men astray unto deviations, to uphold less than what is perfect before Yah, and therefore to uphold corruptions which the Most High cannot preserve. So Messiah does not come to condemn men, my brothers and sisters, condemn themselves for seeking to be justified in preserving other than full sicitude and pursuit of what is indeed divine righteousness. Yah so loved the world, he gave us one king. One king that it might be healed beyond all its convoluted illusions and misallegiances, beyond all the sins of its unbelief, beyond all the sins of having been deceived. That whoever believes unto repentance, seeking his righteousness, his thoughts, having been called and having heard from him, might not perish after the thoughts of a reprobate and undisciplined mind, preserving corruptions. But at last in being converted and hearing the truth, bringing every thought to the obedience of the Spirit, even the obedience to the Spirit of Messiah himself, that men might be saved, might be made whole, might be made something pleasing before the Most High. As I asked the question before, I asked it again. Shall the Most High be pleased with every thought that emanates from the minds of men? Shall the Most High be complicit with the thoughts, with all the range of various ideals and corrupt misconceptions, and some of the abject evil that's in the thoughts of men? Shall he be pleased? Shall he abide in such souls? Shall he feel that he is being dealt with in a hospitable manner, in the soul that does not seek to purge itself to be found worthy of his presence? For in that Yah decreed an end of all nations and all distractions which scatter and seduce the minds of his people, then it also means he must, for salvation's sake, bring to an end to every vain manner of false righteousness, every misconceit, every lying institutionality, which has led the simple mind and the weak of his people astray. He wants the renewal of their strength. But the Most High told me something a while back, and I've told something about this many times. I was really startled one time. I remember being in the kitchen. And I asked Most High, what is his definition of a fool? And his response was shocking. He said, anyone who will stand against him, I could only bow and say, yes, Lord. But then I went on to continue what I was doing in the kitchen. I think I might have been chopping something on the cobra, something like that. And he told me, he said, but there's a difference between a fool and, get this, time I didn't understand the definition of the word. He said, but there's a difference between a fool and a damn fool. I was literally shocked. Lord, call somebody a damn fool. Didn't know it meant something that's condemned to be separated from him forever. He said that some folks, no matter how much you reason with them, they will not show themselves to be wise and reasonable men. Some people, no matter how much you reason with them, rather believe a deceiver than believe they've been deceived, or let it be known they've been deceived, even if it means making that admission for the sake of the salvation of another soul. They much prefer to believe a deceiver and uphold deceit than let it be known that they were deceived. And he said, such as this, that's a damn fool. I could only accept it and take it like he gave it. Because all I can sit back and say, Father, I do not want to be one of those. Give me a reasonable heart that can hear and accept your word and recognize it as wisdom when it is offered. Let me not be one who insults his gift, but one who finds the opportunity to give glory to his name, a very precious thing. I want you to understand something. Messiah prays to the Almighty as an intercessor that man might have a right to divine knowledge. Listen to me. After men have insulted the Creator so much who has sought to reveal himself, and men oftentimes, and let's just say rather than hearing the Most High, want to run to some pastor or sit back and try to tell him something different. Sad. Most pastors don't want to admit how much they've hidden from you. Most High speaks. And it's like folks got to get verification from a man. Sad situation. Messiah prays. It comes to petition the Most High. As an intercessor, the men might have a right to divine knowledge. What did he say? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Don't leave them forsaken without the capacity to discern again righteousness, or else they'll be astray forever. Messiah prays the Most High, pleading that men be left, might be, have a chance to be made free from all the prison houses, all the places where the greater truth is not told. Freed to finally see wherein there was no light. He prays as an intercessor for them left dumb and defensively vulnerable in this world, that they might have a chance to be delivered from misallegiance to every manner of false righteousness, every manner of false institutionality, every manner of false prophet and misruling ruler and deceiving wicked one. Has ensnared the souls of men in this earth. Again, he does not come to condemn, but to deliver man by his righteousness, the knowledge of his righteousness, from every false way. For this reason, he said, the truth will set you free. To reveal the exceeding light, my brothers and sisters, that men might discern the difference between light and the darkness, that they might discern the difference between a pure word and a corrupted one. That at last, having a chance to see light, have a chance to pursue it. Because the truth of the matter is that every soul in all the earth, till every soul is freed from every manner of false king and false prophet who has enslaved the minds of men, this world is not saved because injustice of that form, somebody said injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere. I want you to consider, my brothers and sisters, the truth of what's going on here. It should be understood that Messiah comes as a savior, not as any man's enemy. For if men turn to him, knowing that there's only one righteousness, and willing, being having a willing to hear his righteousness beyond all the misconceits of men, they can be saved. They can be made whole. They can be made true unto the will of Yah. Understand something. Get me, please. Never did the Most High say that he would preserve the wicked. It was already said long ago. I've talked about this, about even from Noah's time and beyond. The Most High said, even in the book of, way back in the book of Genesis, I think around 6 and 5, it said the Most High was not pleased with the wickedness of men's thoughts. So he would destroy man from off the face of the earth. Did the Most High ever come to, do people actually believe the Most High ever got to the point, oh, well, all these wicked thoughts suddenly became acceptable to him? He created man to emulate his mind. His thoughts, his will, his purpose, what he loves, giving glory to the glory although even the law of the Most High by which those beautiful things which the Most High has created might be honored and preserved. Most High never said one time that he be pleased with the corrupt thoughts of men. So understand, if man has no knowledge of how to turn from the wickedness of his thoughts and ways, he has no capacity to be saved. For this world we live in is not known that after the misconceits and misorientations of another, you have a multitude of orientations, not true to Yah. Is this oneness? Is this unity? Is this reconciliation? Is this healing? Or is this diversity and divisiveness and separations? And if there are separations, then there are certainly then curses. And if there are curses, then they're sending them, my brothers and sisters, they are damnation. Because the Most High will not take any of these pollutions unto his name, that his glory in any way be destabilized after the thoughts of men. Man in his diverse confusion has refused to know his purpose as a created vessel. I repeat that again. For without the knowledge of what is pure, perfect, mindfulness unto the glory of what is divine righteousness, souls are already condemned for vain incapacity to emanate thoughts pleasing unto Yah. One scripture says, without faith it's not possible to please Yah. Well, we got news for you. It must be faith in his will. So does it please Yah that man has faith, to have faith in the will or designs or conceits of another? Think about it. And that surely Yah the Father has promised peace, true unto what was perfect, pure, righteousness foreordained as a constant. This world in its arrogance of ignorances falling away further and further away after a multitude of different corrupt conclusions. Like one scripture says, come let us reason together. It means reason together after Yah. It means considerate of all things. Man choosing not to be considerate of all things only damns himself. Shall the Most High be pleased with man's lack of consideration, lack of awareness, lack of a willingness to probe? Oh, yes, given access to probe the mind of Yah to discern how to transcend his sin. Shall the Most High be pleased with the people who, because they seem to be blessed, don't even care or haven't known that they should care? Discern, Messiah sends the world offering mankind opportunity to be sealed in protection against the day of wrath that Yah promises upon all who are foolish enough to stand against the redemption of this world under the authority of him who made it. I repeat, Messiah sent into this world to offer mankind opportunity to be sealed in covenant protection, hearing his righteousness. Because understand, unless that knowledge of that righteousness is revealed, man has nothing with which to say he deserves to continue. Did you hear me? Without the knowledge of what is divine will, or contentions against divine will, man has nothing with which to declare before the Most High that he should survive. Because all it takes to create a devil is for man to be left to his own imaginings. If there is no corrupt thought, all it takes is somebody just be left to his own presumptuousness. If he creates his own God or creates his own idea of what he calls deity, the end result, he's only created something in animosity against the revelation of Yah. If there were no devil, man, without the inspiration of Yah, will create one. The plan of Yah is establishing earth a righteous, even an humble king over this earth, for the blessing of a holy people, that they might have, hear me, that they might have exactly that what he said before, life and more and life more abundantly. The world set under the rulership of one who is concerned for the welfare and the blessing of a people who will be true unto Yah. You ever consider the real meaning of the scripture in Psalm 2 and said, when the Most High says, I have set my king in Zion, my holy mountain? It means the Most High sends Messiah to establish a king in the earth that the people of this world who would have peace and who would be true unto him might be sustained in that peace against anything that would seek to destabilize it. That is the purpose for which Messiah comes. But first, that righteousness must be revealed. And it is a righteousness, my brothers and sisters, that was intended from the beginning before man was made. Most High already knew what was necessary to bring forth heaven on this earth. He already knew what was necessary, my brothers and sisters, also to preserve it. As I told you before, I saw a scroll one Shabbat morning. And the Most High had put across the top of it, I will continue to strive for the cause of my people Israel until Israel was called from the very beginning that the world might be blessed, that the world might see the light of the Most High in the earth. Kings and priests, that the world might discern again what is divine righteousness. And he said that even if Israel goes out and is scattered among the nations, become blinded like the nations, he would bring them back if they become a light to all nations. But only, my brothers and sisters, as restored unto righteousness as of old, pleasing to the Most High, as in the days in which he revealed it to the patriarchal fathers in former days. A people chosen, my brothers and sisters, to be brought back to righteousness, even though all the confusion of the Gentiles had dissuaded the minds of men. Yes, my brothers and sisters, that is ultimately the cause of the chosen people, the purpose of the chosen people, because nothing else but that righteousness which Most High reveals again through them according to his promise is the hope for salvation of this world. We talked last night about the tail end of Deuteronomy 32, the Song of Moshe, and it tells the Gentile nations to rejoice with his people because he will give. They put down mercy. All my brothers and sisters, the concept there is not just mercy. It is the concept that he will be merciful to them, to show them what is an absolute. Because only that which is true unto the absolution of divine mind will be preserved. And it means that man will have an opportunity through the people whom he has chosen to see what is an absolute, that they may give glory to Yah. Because whatever, whoever, whatever will not give glory to the absolute will has no love for Yah himself. And foolish is a man who would prefer something other than divine will counteracting what must be the blessing of Yah according to his promise. Please understand me. What do you think the scriptures mean when we go forth? It talks about this. He said, I've set my king over Zion, my holy mountain. What about the scriptures that says, in Isaiah 41, someone coming forth saying, listen to me, O you isles, and hearken to me, O you nations. They who wait for the Most High to renew their strength. Wait for what? The blessedness of being brought together as one beyond all the confusion of this world. Say, who has stirred up this righteous one from the east and hastened him on and caused him to subdue even kings? And caused him to subdue even kings, gave him dust to his sword and driven stubble to his bow. Why, my brothers and sisters? Renewed unto the strength of Yah, to give glory unto him. Renewed unto the strength and the wisdom and discretion of Yah, that a world might see what indeed is divine light. For in Isaiah 44, speaking of that very king, it says, as I said before, I'll read this from the Aramaic for you. Isaiah 44th chapter. Isaiah 44th chapter. And the Amazing. Here we go. They have not understood, no, nor understood. For the vision of their eyes is shut that they cannot see, and the understanding of their hearts that they cannot understand. They have not considered concerning the thing, the idol that they have made, that the wood that they've made greater than an idol and called a god. He said their imagination is dull. They have considered that it's something that they burned in a fire. And said, the 20th verse, read it as reading the Aramaic. Their imagination is dull. They should have gone astray. They cannot deliver themselves, not seeing them, and that our right hand is wrought falsehood. So when the Most High begins to reveal again what is righteousness, that they might, in discerning that righteousness, seeking to walk after that righteousness, seeking the power of Yah to do these things, they may be saved. He says, therefore, when he reveals it again, he said, remember these things, O Yaakov and Israel, for you are my servant. Come on, people. He made them to serve him. And that means, my brothers and sisters, he gives them a capacity to keep his law and to preserve and walk in his ways. He said, I have formed you, for you are my servant, created unto his service to do that which he wills. And yes, he intends to create a world, my brothers and sisters, that all his people can perform and walk in that righteousness safely, none to harm them. No lies in their mouths, no iniquity. Have none to oppress, none to persuade in an alternate manner, but able to walk in peace, giving honor to the name of the Most High. Yes, the Most High wants to redeem this world and take it from the hands of those who would oppress those who would walk in righteousness. Because let me tell you something, those who walk in righteousness won't be so easily dissuaded by all the false value systems of this world. And indeed, my brothers and sisters, the people will be made rich beyond measure because of their faithfulness in inheriting a world. It's going to be something much more than physical riches that decide the value of a soul. I want you to understand it. You've talked often. About the one the scriptures call the King of the East. If I had the time, and I don't know if I will, but I'm going to try to see if I can get into a little bit of that. There's a need to get back and look real close to the scriptures in Isaiah 45. And look at closely, according to Isaiah 45, what titles he actually does bear. Isaiah 45 and one calls him, well, I could start a little earlier than that. 44:28, who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd. One title, shepherd. It's called shepherd there. And in Malachi, he said the same thing. He called him a shepherd, that his people go forth like cows of the stall. He said he has healing in his lips. Let me see if I can hit a little bit of this, my brothers and sisters. Isaiah 45 and 1 says the Most High to his anointed, to Cyrus. Wherefore anointed? Look it up. It's Mashiach, Messiah. Because the Most High is anointed and stirred up his spirit, one scripture says. That all nations may know from the rising sun to the west, there's no other mighty one. How about even no other salvation? No other blessedness in the earth, but by the will of one. even he who created the world unto his purpose. Shall man believe that he should be blessed, turning the world toward another ideal, against the purposes of the Creator, and against the purposes and the plan whereby all the world could function together in peace as one? Do the world believe it can be blessed in turning against that will? That was a trick in the garden and it got people kicked out. Wake up, my people, and understand. King, one scripture says of him, all the kingdom of the earth is the Most High of heaven given him. Because let me tell you something. The Most High has given him, scripture says, all the kings of the earth. I'm talking about the scriptures back over in Ezra and 2 Chronicles. That all the world under one jurisdiction might be one. Why? Also, King, King of Kings. Look at the concept. King of Kings, King of all kings. Let me tell you something. Even the heathen, my brothers and sisters, understood that a king over just one land can bring world peace. They had the concept of a King of Kings, if you will, or an emperor, one over an empire, because in having dominion over many nations, he could assure some dimension of peace. The pagans call such a king a soter, and it also related a savior, one who could bring peace because of his dominion over many nations, not just one, and could assure that dominion and assure that the rule over that nation is maintained. Shepherd, because he guides his people out from the midst of all the confusion of the nations. Shepherd also because he brings the heart to be convicted, true to the land of promise, while defending his people against all the nations of the beasts who would stand against the attainment of righteousness. As I told you before, the scripture says Savior for another reason. He says that because men and imaginations are dull and cannot deliver themselves, the Most High raises the conscience of a chosen one. That others might also seek equation or to be equated in that same conscience. That the Most High might see emanated in the earth a mindset with which he is pleased. Remember the scripture talks about the idea about that the carnal mind cannot please Yah? That means the thoughts of the flesh cannot please. So you walk according to the flesh, you will die. You walk after the spirit, you shall live. Most High looks for a high conscience, giving glory to him in the earth. And again, any soul that will not seek to uphold that righteousness, but will seek to preserve corruptions, can only work to the destruction of another soul. It's time to understand. Didn't the scripture say those who prefer unrighteousness shall be damned? Those who prefer against reason, prefer against the plan of Yah, feeling that they have a right to selfishly, ambitiously divide up the world according to their own plan to make for themselves what's pleasing to them, even if it means that they damn the souls of all they who serve them? What does the scripture really mean, my brothers and sisters, in Psalm 24 when it says, who shall ascend into the hills of the Most High, and who shall stand in his holy place? But he who has clean hands and a pure heart, not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Who is the King of glory, my brothers and sisters, it asks, who will not compel his people to swear unto vanity? That in seeking Yah himself, they may be blessed to receive their righteousness from the Holy One of their salvation. Where is the king, my brothers and sisters, that is concerned and has knowledge of what delivers and gives value and worth to a human soul? Well, when the scripture says, for instance, in Jacob and James, receive unto yourself the engrafted word was able to save your soul, as I said before, able to make your soul worthy to be preserved. Because he's talked about that with soul which seeks to preserve corruptions, or won't be cleansed, or won't be filled with righteousness, sin caused the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. We talked about that last night in Isaiah 30. He said it should be broken like the breaking of a pile of vessels that's broken without pity. If it won't contain the truth, it won't survive. If it wants to maintain corruptions, it will not survive. What then is the salvation of a soul? But that the heart and mind of men, hearing and receiving divine righteousness, learns to love that which the Most High knows is toward the utmost blessing, giving glory and honor to His name. It's time to understand the reality and understand why Messiah comes. Why do you think the scripture says the angel from the rising sun, the king of the east, would say, "Hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, to seal the servants of Yah upon their brows"? He knows the Messiah. As Messiah, he knows that the Most High is about to render great wrath and destruction on one ever resists the redemption of this world unto the hands of the Most High. He knows that. And he's offering people to say, "Look, here is the law. Here's what you need. Here's what you must have if you're going to be sealed and protected. Here's what you must have. You must prove yourself faithful unto Yah, because He is about to redeem the world unto Himself. He's about to make a place of peace for His people. This is what you must have in order then to survive this." Who will understand? He said that in Isaiah 48, speaking of a people who sworn by his neighbor, not in truth nor in righteousness. So in order that they might be redeemed, he said he has deferred his anger for a moment. Refine his people. Show them what is righteousness. Why? Because he will not preserve unrighteousness. He said those who prefer unrighteousness shall be damned. Think about it. What then is the purpose of Messiah? Does he come revealing exceeding righteousness as an enemy? Or does he come revealing exceeding righteousness as a utmost friend, utmost love? Because the Most High already knew what humanity, what condition humanity's conscience would be in the time of the coming of Messiah. And he's offering mankind an opportunity to show legitimate love. He's offering man an opportunity to show himself reasonable. He's offering Messiah to show a world an opportunity. I hope you understand, my brothers and sisters, to show themselves honorable men. He's offering men an opportunity unto a change of heart, an opportunity to give glory and become. Let me tell you something. I want you to think about this. The very fact that the Most High speaks to a man, heaven help us, is a statement of great honor, because it means that he knows that it's within the capacity of those who he touches to perform his will. Hear me, my brothers and sisters, and understand. Hear me and understand. Most High told me to pray for those who are blind, dumb, hidden in prison houses, if you will, hidden where there is no light, those who are not aware of the secret things of Yah. Because let me tell you something, some of them might have a very hard time, those who come secondarily, might have a very hard time in awakening to the truth or seeing the reason of all these things. But the Most High is going to snatch His people from the hands of the devil. He's going to have His victory. Whatever soul that He wants to bring to Himself, hey, He has His way to bring it. Even if He has to break the hardness of heart to do it, he will, because he said he would. And let me tell you something, it's an awesome blessing that the Most High has said that for as much as he is disgusted with the wickedness that can emanate from the hearts of men, he said he would send one to petition that humanity have a chance, that his people have a chance to get it together, that they can become that which the Most High is willing to bless with peace, life, hope, love, prosperity, even unto divine honor, because that's what the Most High wants to see, and that's the only thing that can honor him, that he wants to grant mankind that opportunity forever. And in spite of all that mankind has done, that the Most High would show that kind of love, that's an awesome thing. That's an awesome thing. But understand, it just simply means the Most High is going to bring to bear the peace in this world that he said he would. I've seen the contract. I saw the contract and read it before I read it in the scriptures. It's one of the things, my brothers and sisters, that drives my soul to this very day. Because there's nothing like the Most High telling you himself and then verifying himself. He's made me believe. Because he verified his word. Not only what people have written or what you see in this book, but he showed it to me directly himself. And the words that I saw thereafter just verified what he had already declared. In a world that the scripture says has fallen away from faith, yes, what is it that Messiah must do then but restore man to faith in the truth? Transcended all his confusions. Transcended all his misallegiances. Transcend all his trusts and lies, misconceits, and pretenses. Didn't he say those who prefer unrighteousness, pretense, shall be damned? Certainly then Messiah must do what? Reveal the truth that men might have an opportunity unto life. That men might not perish, but have an opportunity to preserve that which the Most High has declared everlasting. As a reason for this very earth to exist. Because that's the plan, the purpose for which Yah made it. Oh, I know how they teach it in the churches. I know how they said it. They said it acts as if Messiah comes so that it doesn't even make a difference what people think. As long as they believe, they believe. Lord have mercy. They believe, they believe. Having not heard from Yah, heaven help us. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, if you haven't heard, you need to pray that you do. Continue to ask Most High to be made a servant for him. Like I said, if you asked every morning, if somebody asked you every morning, as soon as you got up, and they came to you and they kept asking you, as soon as they got up even, what can I do for you today? What can I do for you today? What can I do for you today? Perhaps you might get a chance to hear a command. And you hear a command directly, you get a far better idea of who it is you're serving. My brothers and sisters, if the conscience of man, and the scriptures over and over again say that humanity's conscience in these latter days had fallen to a state with which the Most High is not pleased, then the Most High must show man again that which pleases him. If the Most High is to look upon this world in its errant state, then the only reason why he would seek to preserve it is because he sees the hope of its deliverance. If he says to pray for the dumb or pray for those who have not understood, It doesn't mean that he intends to destroy them, and that even that their destruction is his desire. It means that he wants to save them. And we, who have a capacity to understand better, must, I repeat, must realize what must become the direction of our prayers. I said it last night. 2/3 of humanity, it said, would perish, but 1/3 will come back refined unto Yah, and they will say with all their hearts that the Most High is their only Savior. And 1/3 of humanity is far more than 144,000, but blessed are those who come to Him early. Blessed are those who understand the plan to know how to come early. And sadly, I dare to say, and I've challenged the pastors everywhere. Yes, I have. Wherever I've gotten a chance. How is it that such magnificent word, and I'm not saying it's magnificent because it came out of my mouth. I just see the concentricity of it. I see how it all works together. The Most High can reveal such magnificent things in these days and times. And rather than reveal them, they would still seek to preserve falsehood because they hadn't prepared the people to begin to understand at all in the first place. Like one pastor told me, I've said this before. He said, how many folks do you think are going to get that? It's important that they do. But they said they're not going to get it, so since it's not important to, because most people are not going to get it or realize that they need it, as far as he was concerned, he wasn't even going to teach it at all. He never realized how important it was to Yah, or else he wouldn't be there to preach in the first place. I had to ask the man, who is he serving? First, my eyes bucked up wide. I think he knew what I was going to ask him. Who are you serving? Did the Most High have this down here for nothing? Heaven help us that most have trusted men so very treacherous. But he said, pray for the dumb, those who don't realize the situation that they're in, that they might have the eyes to see quickly when the time comes. The doorway to salvation and liberty. Who's going to discern it? Who's going to discern it? I've talked about this scripture before. Revelation 1:7. Talks about, behold, Messiah comes with clouds. How he comes in a great anointing, like the Shekinah glory. A great testimony. Every eye shall see him, every ear shall hear him. Granted a chance to discern the way of righteousness. And the scripture says, also they put down pierced. But let me tell you something, that word there, if you go back and look at it from when it was, from where it first came from, talking about those who rejected and denied him. And he says, all the kindred of the earth shall mourn. Why should people shall realize that they had rejected and stood against even the curse, the most blessed gift of all, when they all realize how they have blasphemed the spirit of grace and insulted the greater righteousness of Yah, simply because it did not seem to be something that most people would get and understand that they need it. Realize it's only by the hope in the righteousness of Messiah revealed, the righteousness of Yah revealed, that the souls of men may be redeemed. Shall men be angry at such a one as this? We talked about that last night in Deuteronomy 32. Yeah, a lot of people are going to be angry because they were taught that something else is viable. Even when they see something more sensible, they still call something less viable, willing to defend folly just because they had believed it. Remember, Yah is one. How can everybody's way be called righteous? Realize that for which Messiah sinned. Is it not written, whoever willingly or not perverts the grace, inspiration, and guidance of Yah? Talk about the book of Yehuda, Jude. We'll have to be convinced against their unrighteousness. Because the scripture says that those he redeemed are shows his way. He said it was an example that many who he showed his way and as an example to them. It says in Jude that in turning toward unbelief, not holding to righteousness, he destroyed those who afterward now believe. I want you to understand something about that scripture, talking about even those who pierced him shall mourn. You ever stop to consider the real meaning of this scripture? One scripture over in Hebrews in the 6th chapter said, if a man turns again to sin, he crucified the Son of Yah again and puts him to open shame. Has not a whole world done this? Did not Yah send his Son and reveal the truth? And the world rejected those who had that truth and murdered it. Every one of them. Read Revelation 6 and understand. And when the Most High has sent men to try to revive that righteousness, what the scripture says, the world sought to make them a prey. Yeah, no kidding. Backstabbing preachers. Yeah, they never knew what was coming at them. Don't turn your back on them. That's what I suggest. Keep your eyes on that joker in the dark cloak. In a Western imperialist polytheist worldly system wherein all have been perverted after pollutions of worldliness, even polytheist men who thus misled in perversity against the grace of Yah. While men have been tricked in this manner, everybody is going to have to admit not knowing the dimensions of his sin and misallegiances. Everybody's going to have to admit that in remaining in any respect under such misallegiances, they've still been, in some respects, enemies and adversaries against the Holy One of Salvation. Trick. For lack of knowledge, unredeemed, and in some respects, still accomplices to preserve unrighteousness. In that all the world, Scripture says, is fallen into sin under some unrighteousness. Remember, Scripture said in Isaiah 26, other lords have had dominion over us. The redeemer is going to say this. Other lords have had dominion over us, but now by thee and thee only will we make mention of their name. They have gratitude for the opportunity under righteousness. Scripture says, because in the night they waited for him. They knew the seek of righteousness is greater than all the world, because all the diverse standards of this world cannot make the people of one. They knew this. They discerned this, and they anticipated an absolute revelation of righteousness, that they be assured. In receiving opportunity under this redemption, what's to be the response of men? Messiah comes to mankind, shall have opportunity to become true unto Yah according to all that is righteous, and all that has been revealed through his servants, the prophets, since the world began. Yes, the righteousness of Yah is a constant. And if man falls away from it, blind to it, it is still the standard by which all the world shall be judged. All who believe in him must then come unto this one constant covenant of salvation. The covenant contract was signed by Yah before anybody got here. And don't believe any liars. Whoever told you the Most High is not the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Yes, they want to take the faith and they want to sit back and talk about such things. They want to call it Well, in traditional sense, they want to talk about Judaism, then they want to talk about Christianity, and then they want to talk about Islam as Abrahamic faith. My brothers and sisters, the Most High is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And if they ever tell you the Most High broke any contract that he has already declared in order that somebody become the heirs of the ancient fathers, ancient Hebrew fathers, they're a damn liar! Don't believe it. Because that's been the deceit that has destroyed so many that they've caused men to believe the Most High is inconsistent. He said that if men fall away, he would raise up prophets to restore his righteousness. If men cause men to offer sacrifices not true to the righteousness of Yah, he would give them one who would offer himself as a sacrifice, that there be an atonement that men might return to the same righteousness that was from the beginning. If they told you anything else, they are damn lies. Does that speak it like it is? If they told you the Most High is inconsistent, then they told you the Most High himself is accursed. If they told you the Most High is inconsistent, they told you that you must believe because of a new faith in a liar. All that the Most High has declared ever throughout the ages has always been a restoration. Always been a remembrance. Always been a matter of him reminding man again of that which he told them of old. And if anybody seeks to tell you otherwise, if anybody seeks to tell you otherwise, be wiser than that. Be wiser than that. All the promises the Messiah spoke of, even in Acts 1st chapter, was the promise of a comforter for the restoration of his people. But they say, we get the Holy Spirit to talk about a new covenant? When that same Spirit is the one that spoke to all the prophets of old? That same Spirit, the Scripture says, Messiah is the one who gave it, who is the Word from the beginning? How do you get a new covenant out of that? Most High already made a promise to his people, and then some people sit back and turn around and talk about that another bloodline suddenly becomes the one that is chosen. When even in the Quran it says that the prophets of Israel were spoken to by the so-called deity of the Quran. Tell me, are they still saying again and again that somehow the Most High broke his covenant in order to establish one? Broke his word in order to establish truth? What kind of insanity is this? Ultimately, Abraham followed after the Most High because he wanted all nations to be blessed. What problem is it that people have? The Most High is not trying to deny his blessing. He's trying to offer it. Count it a blessing that he offers men a Savior who does not try to hide the blessing, but seeks to share it. Let us be wiser than that. Selfish ambition like that is damnable, my brothers and sisters. Understand. Pastors are all willing to sit back and exalt their doggone churches in their fallen standards over and over and over again because they just want to sit back and say they have a bigger congregation than another pastor. Let me tell you something. Anybody who's not willing to uphold the fullness of what is divine righteousness when Messiah comes to reveal what that is damned. So what kind of fool is this? Are these that men are so quickly willing to fall in their selfish ambitions? What do they expect to accomplish? All my brothers and sisters are going to tell you that a lot of pastors already told me that most of them are atheists anyway. Because if they really did believe, and they really did care, and they really did have a love in their hearts, and I've talked to some behind closed doors, let me tell you something, you can see the devil's behind their eyes. I can't tell you about the number of pastors, some of them you've even seen on TV. Yes, I've talked to some of them personally, looked at them, and was tripped out when I first saw him face to face. Bloodied teeth. Bloodied, jagged teeth and a tail and horns. Ask him such questions as, don't you know that the Most High, by his grace, reveals his law? And they tell me such insane things, like one pastor told me, with a big bodyguard standing on by his side, when the Most High hadn't given him yet that revelation. What's he doing in a behind a pulpit? He needs to be in a pit for sure. My brothers and sisters, it's time to wake up. Messiah said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. I'm praying constantly the Most High will pour down His Spirit. Yes, and it's a precious thing when He does, that He pour down His Spirit to snap the minds awake, to see beyond this. Because if all we do is seek to condemn those who do not see, do we only want enemies? Or do we want the Most High to reach out and touch the hearts? Let the number of our friends increase. Yes, indeed, Mama, you got it. We have to pray. We must pray. I tell you again about what he told me in the Proverbs. Read to you where it's written in the King James Version for right now. Yeah, we spoke about it before. In the Proverbs, 31st chapter, 8th verse. He told me, this is what he told me, and I was petitioning about so many other things, and he admonished me to do this. He said, open my mouth. In other words, petition for the sake of the dumb. And for the cause of all those who right now, I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, might not have been as fortunate, but are behind closed doors where all they can see. I hope you understand me. I'm paraphrasing this a little bit because what it means. Behind doors where all they can see is damnation and destruction. Pray, my brothers and sisters, they be delivered from every false voice. Pray that they be, when they see an opportunity to awaken, that they can take it. Pray the conditions open up for every soul that would be wise, that it might be wise, because many, my brothers and sisters, have lived and died and not seen that opportunity. Pray, my brothers and sisters, that I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of stinky emanations going forth from the midst of the hearts. But the Most High knows the potential that He created man for. And just like the adversaries work to try to take many who would be righteous from the hands of the Most High has every intention. He said, though they climb even down to Sheol, yet He will lift them up. This is His promise. And whatever is necessary to bring it to bear, He will do. But the end result, my brothers and sisters, is going to be a people conformed unto righteousness. He said, open your mouth and judge righteously. What else did he want if he establishes a people? If he establishes a king, but one who would judge righteously, preserving righteousness, hastening righteousness, having a love for righteousness, having a love to see his people happy and blessed, able to love, able to trust. Hearing the word of Yah, knowing and wise, and loving the idea they have no obstacle against walking in it perfectly. What else does the Most High want? What else does He want? That's always been His plan. Or shall men show that they are wicked and that they want the right to declare another rule, establish and preserve another rule, blinding the minds to think that otherwise is right, otherwise is righteous, otherwise is wisdom, otherwise is a blessing. How many scriptures have said that he's going to take away the blessings from all those who have held his people in bondage? That people finally realize that their only hope for blessing is coming back to Yah. Oh, it'd be such a great thing if man did not have to go through so much to realize and recognize how much Yah has always sought to show forth to man love. The world can't see the fullness of the blessing and what the Most High has planned for them until it learns how to love divine will and the fullness of the plan necessary to bring forth such a blessing and preserve it. How many of us are ready to understand? I know the scenario that I'm painting for you here now is so different from what most want to flatter folks to believe in the church. Some folks want us to believe in this rapture doctrine, as if the Most High are going to look around and see all these 30,000 different denominations, everybody who called upon his name, just suddenly just go up in the sky and all their contentiousness. Please go back and look at some of the stuff I put on Blog Talk Radio with regard to this rapture doctrine and the lie that it is. Because believe me, they even went as far as to interpret a whole lot of words in the scriptures that seem to lead to that idea, and they totally misinterpreted them. They totally mistranslated them even to make them appear to be something that the Most High never said. And I got news for you, a lot of pastors, there's a lot of folks who know it. Like, hey, just like I'm thankful the Most High made me sense what the words meant, despite what I read. And checking it out, hey, thankfully, truth is what it is, what the Most High revealed those words to actually be and those concepts actually to be. But there's a lot of folks who have examined these things. I kind of start doing some study, and some folks who somewhat better understand these things. Did you hear me? But they still go on with the lie because it's popular. It's what the folks want to hear. Let me tell you something. What the folks want to hear, if they continue to believe it, they're damned. If they had a heart. Did you hear me? If they had a heart, they have to dispense with the lie and tell people what they need to know, that they might be redeemed. What kind of an animal, my brothers and sisters, would deliver a human soul capable of so much potential to destruction when it's be so much more loving to offer the people a chance to see the truth? And yes, I said animal, because I meant exactly what I said. Reprimand me for it. Those of you out there who heard what I just said and think I might be saying something that sounds a little offensive to your hearts, reprimand me for it and give a defense for your continuing to do what you do when you hide these truths. Or you won't speak up about them. When you know many of you, I've sent out notices, I've spoken to you personally and some of everything else, and you can't continue to try to skirt the issue. Defend the reason why you do this. Go before the Most High and call yourself wise and having done it, and see what kind of response, if he even begins to honor you enough to speak back, what he'll tell you about how he feels about what you do. But I'm being kind to you. You just don't even know, most of you. You pastors out there who might be listening to this, I'm being very kind to you, because if you haven't considered these things, you don't know how much of a chance is being offered to you. What will you do? What will you do? Hey, you know how to get in contact with me. What will you do? I know the Most High just wants a change of heart, but he wants that change of heart to be for real. My brothers and sisters, this has been Adam Yah of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. And I said, I'm going to say this because I want to go back through this. I'm just going to say this for a future show, maybe even tomorrow night. Go back and read through Isaiah 44 through 45, 46. And I've talked to you before about the attributes that is given to this one called the King of the East, the Righteous One from the East, Angel from the Rising Sun. A lot of titles there, my brothers and sisters, for those who understand it. And Most High said these things and declared these as the foundation to, for what, upon which men should look for a deliverer, a Messiah, a Savior. Well before the way they've taught it over the course of years now by tradition. And if you understand what are the duties of those who hold these titles, you see that this same one held them all and will hold them all. Who is he? Anointed one, Messiah, King, King of Kings, Shepherd, brings his people out of Babylon. King of Kings, given authority over all nations to bring forth peace and to bring his people back. Priest. Why? Intercessor. Did you notice the scripture in Isaiah 45? That they even know from the rising of the sun to the west there's none else but him. And in the latter scriptures in Isaiah 59 it says that there's no intercessor. It says that he is called to lift up a standard, even a covenant. A covenant. A covenant by which men might petition the Most High, that he might be pleased. So shall they revere the name of the Most High from the west and glorify him in the rising of the sun. Hosea, he will cry out like a lion. He will roar like a lion. His sons will come trembling from the west. The scripture's talking about he's bringing his people from the west, where that beast is, if you understand what I'm saying. It said in Daniel 8. Add it all up together, my brothers and sisters. Zechariah, 3rd chapter, 6th chapter, sit as king and priest. And some text, when it says branch, it uses the word dinka, a sunrise. Add it up, my brothers and sisters, add it up. He said that the imagination of men were dull, could not deliver themselves, but the Most High has anointed him. Is an anointing supposed to leave the conscience at the same lesser level, or is it something to that he raises the conscience of man with to make the crooked places straight? Did you hear me? To make the crooked places straight, to get it, move aside every obstacle to show the treasures that are hidden. The treasures of wisdom that are hidden in secret places that men have sought to hide, but the Most High knows are necessary that his people become one in him again. Add it up, my brothers and sisters, and consider. I know what they taught, but add up the facts that they've hid. And you tell me what you get. It's time to see the reality of what they've heard and understand what is emanated through the scriptures from one end to the other. We talked about Numbers 24:17. Go back and look through the shows and look at those scriptures talking about some of the words that are there that are replicated in scripture over and over again. Still add up to the same thing. Even all this what you find in Revelation 19:11-21. Ah, Father, help us. I can tell you a lot of reasons why I know what I know. I can only tell you that I saw it before. If I told you all that I know, many of you wouldn't be ready to deal with it just yet. But the day will come. I'm not trying to hide anything. I just know that there's a lot of things the Most High told me that for them to be dealt with stably, a very powerful and strong foundation has to be laid first. That's what I endeavor to do. What do you mean? Go ye forth and teach all nations. Give them a foundation upon which a pure word can be preserved, that no one will miscontrive it, and the end result won't be a corruption, but won't be an opportunity for life everlasting. My brothers and sisters, it's been Adam Yah of Covenant Remembrance Ministries, and I'm so very thankful to see you all here in the chat. All of you who are, some of you I can see, some I can't see. Hey, however this word bread. I am thankful to the Most High for it. I petition you all, as much as I even petition the Most High, do what you can to let the world hear these words. Let it be known that there's a need for many to hear this message. Most High told me these words were important. He said it's important. You ever stop to consider what that means, is that they're important to man? Because without it, man does not have what's necessary to be whole. I thank him for what he's called me to do. And with his blessing, I will continue. Love you. It's the Enemy Eye of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Barak Shalom, may the Most High provide you with all that is necessary unto the attainment of what he calls peace. Miona Ab, much love. And until we speak again, my brothers and sisters, hallelujah!
Heavenly Father, best of all, to you I give the glory, and on my knees I fall. I have the wisdom and understanding. To you my praise I bring, to you my song I sing.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.